we've had an opportunity to speak with a lot of other folks who we felt would be impacted by these changes, and their universal response was, "What me? You're kidding." So it's our position that there needs to be another meeting to discuss this so that all the people who have an interest in this have an opportunity to express their point of view. We also have some concerns regarding the substance of the change. Briefly, does every MRT service need an MRI simulation? We're not sure of that. Does every emergency room that does more than 8 MRI scans per day need to replace their mobile MRI with a fixed MRI? That's the consequence of this change. Does the MRI stand need a special exception for freestanding imaging centers with high volumes of Medicare patients because they have language difficulties? Should the standards allow replacement of a mobile MRI with a fixed MRI when the facility is providing 5.3 scans per day? Isn't the standards, don't the standards currently have provisions for waiting MRI scans for unique special interest patients? Couldn't the existing standards be modified with the waiting to address these special concerns or special difficult patients? Due to our concerns of both process and substance, we don't feel that this was given adequate opportunity to discuss this issue with all interested parties. Therefore, our membership, after hearing from all of the parties involved, is recommending that the Commission not take any action today and that additional work group meetings be convened in order to give everyone an opportunity to comment on these issues. And no, I haven't gotten the Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm going to address the Starbucks issue first. I want to clarify this so we can stop arguing about it. The department went through the same process they've gone through for all the other work groups. Andrea sent out a listserv, 500 people on the listserv. We're going to have an MRI work group. It's on the website, plain as day. This was announced at the last at the commission meeting, the planning meeting. We were going to have a work group. I mean, we're going to have a work group. There should be no complaints about the fact this was not known about MRI. And the question about the Starbucks, when Dennis told me of this concern, I figured out the solution for him. He's to go to Starbucks, buy a bunch of gift cards for leaded coffee, and send them to the people who slept through this somehow. That's the solution to this problem. Now, if they didn't understand what the issues were going to be at the work group, again, I don't know how to explain that because this was straightforward from the testimony in October, discussed February 5th. So they certainly should have known what the issues were. And we didn't introduce any of these as new issues. These were the issues all along. Now, if you're telling me and other people are saying we need more discussion about this, we still have more questions, we want to discuss this, that's a separate issue. That I have some sympathy to, but I have no sympathy to. Gee, there was a work group and nobody told me. I keep hearing this complaint. The department did a good job of notifying people. I did like the 3 expert radiologists, by the way. I meant to mention that earlier.
Counting yourself.
Correct.
Yes.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have liked it. You know. Okay. Fine.
Other questions? Thank you, Dennis. Dr. Basha from Basha Diagnostics.
Good morning, everybody, and I should start by thanking the Commission for allowing us the time to bring our case in And I should thank the department for taking the time to work with us and listen to our case. Also, I should thank the work group and Dr. Sandler for spending the time and the effort, the energy to understand the case. Here our situation is we have a practice of MRI in multiple locations. Unfortunately, it could not expand the program enough because of the high cost of it, and the patients who were serviced have high number of uninsured, poor people, underinsured, and that segment of the society day after day has been increasing. With the economical pressure in the state of Michigan, we feel, this problem in Michigan has to be addressed. Definitely, our locations are in the suburb area, not in downtown Detroit or poor neighborhoods. But even so, the poor people find their way to come to us, and we seek them too because we love to serve those people. However, our overhead, because most of our equipment is leased, has high overhead. That reason we could not expand it enough to accommodate everybody. This is true, the average per day become low, but the operating day is very long for us. We work in every location between 12 to 16 hours a day. We could not expand it. First, the rent per day for the MRI service is very high, near $5,000 a day. In addition, since the medical offices we are in has small parking lots, we could not operate it in a weekday. So most of the time we do the work in the offices in a weekend. And I think some cities have difficulties with MR trailers in the parking lot. Sometimes the fire marshal or the city or the neighbors in the stores next door or the neighbors could complain. And that's the reason we try to reduce our presence. And all the time we ask for more extension with the city like Sterling Heights. And that's the reason we have been asking the commission and the state to allow us to convert that license to become an in-house license, a fixed license, so we can operate. As of now, our average service per day, we operate the day near 20 exams a day. Sometimes could be as high in the upper 20s, sometimes in the upper teen. So we never had a day where we had 5 or 6 patients, or even 10. All time is high volume, but however, the people we have a lot of time have difficulties, whatever physical, handicap, language, culture, or no transportation. Most of our patients come to us, about near 40% of them, we pick them up. We have a free transportation service. Whatever they come, we bring them. In addition, high number of them, on the average, we had about near 33%, 35% Medicaid or uninsured or no pay. Even our Medicare, near 25%. Has no copay or deductible. We get stuck with the no payment. However, we love them and we want to service them, whether they are handicapped or large patient or wheelchair, and we don't mind servicing more of them in the future. So,
your time is up, Dr. Bush.
Thank you.
Questions?
Commissioner Angeloni. What do you do with the people that have no insurance? Do you bill them for the service, and what if they can't pay?
Technically, a lot of them, whatever they can afford. We try our best to have whatever they can afford, we take them. Even we have contracted with many charity groups, some of it religious, Catholic charity, or some of them associated with the major hospital, we contract with them. And a lot of the times we pick up the people from their homes or wherever they are, group homes or even some of them in shelters, whatever they are, we bring them. And whatever they can afford, we try our best to accommodate their budget.
So if someone has a study, you send them a bill for the study?
A lot of the times we try to send the people a bill.
And if they're unable...
If they pay it, that's fine. If they cannot pay it, sometimes we have to swallow it.
Thank you.
So let me just make sure I understand that, Commissioner Goldman. You are talking about 25% of MRI visits with a payor source of Medicaid and or no charge.
Yes, sir.
What's your current Medicaid reimbursement?
Oh, on the average, Medicaid has been paying near 33% of what we bill. Medicare, on the average, has been paying, according to our in-house books, near 44% of what we bill. Blue Cross has been paying us on the average.
No, just Medicaid. The language is 25% of MRI visits with a payer source of Medicaid. So that's, you're saying 33% of what you bill. What's your average bill?
I don't have the number with me what we bill, but whatever we bill them, our standard bill, we collect near 33%. The average has been.
Okay. And or no charge. So the question Commissioner Angelini was asking and that I'd like to ask as well is no charge can mean I have determined based on your income source that you are unable to pay, I will provide charity care and not send you a bill. That's what no charge could mean. Isn't that right?
Usually that's a case, yes.
But you're saying you might include in no charge reduced charge and bad debt, is that?
No, we haven't included in our data the bad debt.
You have included bad
debt?
We
have not.
So if...
Because those ones, they classify upon coming to our office with whatever insurance they present.
But if you send someone a bill and they don't pay it, do you classify that as a bad debt?
No, usually we have those ones, they present something when they come, whatever Medicaid or Blue Cross or any other insurance, those are the ones we send them invoice. A lot of the times that, or most of the time, the one no pay is the one from inception, no charge.
So, for example, some hospitals have a charity care policy. If somebody wants services at the facility and they can show that they are not more than 200% above the poverty level as determined by the federal government, the hospital says we will provide services at no charge, meaning that we will not ask you for $5, we will not ask you to pay what you can, nor will we send you a bill, nor will we consider you bad debt for reimbursement purposes. Is that your understanding of the language of no charge in this?
Yeah, that's the one classification. From the beginning, they said, we are not going to pay, we cannot pay, and we don't have money to pay.
And
most of them, they come with support and recommendation from charity groups or doctors who know them that they are poor people and they are helping them to get some tests so they can take action or therapy.
And you wouldn't ask them to pay?
Those ones, we did not put them on the book as a pay from the beginning.
And then the other language says that you would continue, that a facility that qualified under this would continue to provide 25% of the MRI visits with the payer source of Medicaid and or no charge for at least 3 years. What is your expectation of what would happen after the 3 years?
Technically, our practice has been from inception. I started in 1980 to accommodate everybody because I have the feel that people should have a treatment regardless of income or regardless of capacity of paying. So
that's
our philosophy.
That.
We put the 3 years is just a area of documentation. We are going to continue that pattern of practice. Not because we want to stop at 3 years and start to become only take only the rich or capable people.
But you don't want to continue the documentation to the department for more than
technically
3 years.
We are going to continue the documentation because under the state rules, everybody have to file the type of insurance, what kind of exams done, and the number of exams technically will be available to the department as long as we operate the MR business.
Right. And for your purpose, I'm not talking about other facilities, but for your facility, you don't care whether it says 3 years or not.
Yeah, I don't care if it's 3 years or 100 years, as long as I keep the practice here. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Commissioner Hagnell.
Not necessarily for Dr. Basha, but for the department. Is it clear how people code and bill? In other words, does Dr. Basha do it one way and somebody else another? Has there been any review of how clear the definition is so that if we were to say that we wanted to go with those that had 25% that they have that eligibility in the volume, that they could go. I'm concerned about whether the definition is really fuzzy or whether there is uniformity between all of the reporters.
I think here we have, for example, the data from the state.
Sorry, Dr. Bajer, the question was directed to the department, not to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We would have some difficulty in making that distinction, given that each provider probably codes a little bit differently. Not all of them, but there must be some protocol that's generally used. But we'd have to rest with our colleagues from Medicaid to sit down and see. Now, that information does come across on cost reports. It also comes across in big chunks in this hospital survey.
So we might want to consider
a more precise
definition of no charge.
Oh, yeah.
This is Brenda. It's not collected on the house, on the CON survey, but it is collected in the MRI portion of it.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Kishishian. As this conversation was occurring, I realized, could anyone tell me if somebody's Medicaid and Medicare, where that person gets counted? Or would it be up to everybody just to make their own decision on where they count it? Because there are a lot of dual eligibles who are very ill, who require a lot of services.
I think I'm not certain how they report it. I could defer to somebody who actually does. If somebody knows more than me, I'd certainly be interested in the response as well.
Well, Medicare pays more than Medicaid. Uh-huh. So.
I'm just asking where they count it.
Medicare is the first payer, so I think and this is a presumption on my part, so I think they report under Medicare.
We would have to investigate that.
It seems to me if we ask for another work group, it would be really important on this particular question, the Medicaid question, that there is a clear definition. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of latitude in terms of what we're approving because of the definition being unclear.
Right. Other questions for Dr. Basha? Thank you, Dr. Basha.
Thank you.
Where are we? Sean, Ascension Health. There you are.
Good morning again. Sean Gailey, Ascension Health, Michigan. I don't have prepared comments on the MRI proposals either, but I did want to address Dr. Sandler's point that we would like to discuss this further. We do have some questions regarding specifically the carve-out related to Oaklawn Hospital and then also allowing for a narrow carve-out of the MRI standards for the freestanding facility exception as well. So while I don't have specifics for you today, I think there are a number of questions that have been raised today that I think we'd appreciate understanding the answers to a little bit more clearly. I'm not opposing or supporting the proposal at this point. Simply, we think that maybe there's some further discussion of some of these items that might be necessary. Thank you.
Questions? Commissioner Smith?
This is Commissioner Smith. Sean, while you're there at the podium, what would be the downside be in terms of more fully developing through the work group these issues that have been raised over the course of the last couple of commentators?
I don't know that there's maybe Dr. Sandler can address what the downside is. I think it delays. Okay. It may delay your action if you don't take proposed action today. You may see a delay in when you can ultimately give a final action and approval of the exceptions. But we were at the work group. We did participate in the work group. I didn't have Starbucks. I had Big B's coffee that day, so maybe that had something
That's
to do
problem.
With why
yeah.
we didn't get all of our questions answered.
Commissioner Smith, again, that's the very reason for my comment, not making a value judgment why we didn't get the kind of participation would have been desirable, but the fact of the kinds of questions that have been raised by commission members as well as some of the participants in the audience leads me to believe that there may be a necessity to continue the work of discussion on these issues and at an appropriate time to do